This is Lead 12:12, a podcast on Christ-centered leadership based on Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Thanks for listening. Here's Dave and Chris.
Hey, everybody. We're back.
Yay.
Did you miss us? Come on, it's okay to say you did. We missed you guys. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're excited to see what God's going to do each time we get behind here and talk to you and share with you. David Jeremiah said this, no matter what our circumstance, we can find a reason to be thankful. So it's Thanksgiving week.
Amen to that. There's always a reason to be thankful.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, in leadership, you need to be thankful for who you're working with.
Yes.
You need to be thankful for your family that supports you in your leadership.
Absolutely.
And you need to be thankful that God's put you in a role of leadership.
Oh, yes. So, and you know, those attitudes start at the top, too.
Gratefulness is something that I think we need more and more sermons on, and we need more and more life application for that.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's really the time of year for that, too.
Amen. So what are we talking about today, Chris?
Dave, we're talking about leader-member exchange theory. It's called LMX, and this is very widely spread. This is one of the better theories and something that I use all the time, and just by knowing you, I know that you use it all the time, too.
Okay.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been on a team where the leader had a better relationship with some team members than others?
Sure. Absolutely.
Have you ever had one where the leader has a very positive relationship with some people on the team and then maybe a negative relationship with other people on the same team?
Absolutely. Even teachers.
Oh, that's a good thought.
Yeah.
Do you believe this affected not only the growth of the team, but also the growth of those team members?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, back to our model, just think about it. You wanted to learn from a teacher that thought you were important. If that wasn't the case, you weren't as bought in.
That's absolutely right.
So that works perfect.
That's an excellent point. We know that as a leader, it's not always suitable to treat every member of your team equally. For example, you probably have team members with whom you have a positive relationship and you trust them. They work diligently. They've never let you down. To you, these team members are priceless, and maybe you make an extra effort to assign them challenging projects. You ever done that?
I have. Absolutely.
What about the opposite? Have you ever had people on your team that you may regard less favorably? They may lack the long-term career goals, or maybe they're less competent and you just don't trust them as much.
Yeah. I'd like to say no, but I'm sure that I have.
It's human nature.
Yeah.
And what happens is these people get assigned the routine task, and they're not really considered for promotions or even challenging tasks at times.
Amen. There you go.
Have you ever considered or asked yourself why you lack confidence in these team members?
Well, sure. Have you? If that's the case, we need to encourage people to do that.
You absolutely do need to.
Yeah.
And whether it's right or wrong, do you allow the distrust of them or the belief that they're unreliable to influence your interactions with them?
Yeah, of course you do.
Do you withhold opportunities that could help them grow and succeed, maybe even subconsciously?
Absolutely.
Well, that's where LMX comes in, leader-member exchange. LMX delves into how leaders develop relationships with the team members and how those relationships can either help team members or hold back team members.
Can I say something real quick?
Absolutely.
You know, the more I hear this, the more I think this is so applicable to the pastors that are listening.
I'm sure.
We need to know our congregation.
There we go.
Thank you. We need to know our church. We need to know the people that go there. Now it's hard, and I know if you get big numbers, I hear that, and you start small and then you go out. But I still think it's important that you care. People don't know how much you care till they know, I can't get it right now. You know the one I'm trying to get?
I think so.
People don't care how much you know, do they know how much you care?
There we go. That's it.
I'm a speech major. Ladies and gentlemen, Dave Scaff. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know if you'll hear this or not. It may get re-edited, but hey, here we are.
Okay. All right. Back on LMX. LMX was first proposed in a seminar by Fred Dansereau, George Grain, and William Haga way back in 1975. And it focuses on the relationship that develops between managers and team members. A great many team leaders use LMX as their primary leadership style. Like I said, I do. I know you do. Another famous person who uses this is Sundar Pichai. He's the CEO of Google, and he has a lot of belief in this, and this is his management style.
All right. And you said his name right, too, I think. So that's
I hope
impressive.
I did. Are you out there?
You know what my trick is on names like that?
What?
Like Bible names that may confuse you?
No.
Just say them really fast. No, not every.
Oh, give me an example. I want
to
hear.
Well, let's think of a name that's hard to say in the I can't think of anybody. Like, there is a name in the Bible. It's I-T-H-E-L. Now, it can go either way. It kind of looks like Ithel, but I think it's pronounced Ithel.
Okay.
I heard a guy say, and no one knew what he really. I was like, did he say Ithel or Ethel? No one knew because he just blew through it. So there you go.
But you got the idea what was going on. Here we go.
Sorry, guys. We get off on tangents, and I haven't been behind the mic for a few minutes. So thanks for putting up with us today.
Well, I'm glad that you're back, though. I've really been missed.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Okay. All right. Jumping back on LMX, one of the critical concepts of LMX is the concept of in-group and out-group followers. What this says is essentially every team is made up of two smaller teams, the in-group and also the out-group. Now, the in-group has more influence, more confidence, and receives more concern from the leader. This concern can be well-being or just general communications. The in-group is generally more dependable, more involved, and more communicative than the out-group. Excuse me. The out-group is usually less compatible with the leader. They may not have the same interests. They may not enjoy the same sports teams. It can be any reason that mentally the leader puts someone in an out-group. And the out-group usually just comes to work, does their job, and go home.
Right.
Dave, have you ever been on the in-group or an out-group?
Yeah, absolutely. I think every one of us has. And, you know, there's many different models, you know, whether it's at a church or it's at your work or even if it's at the school that you attend or college.
Absolutely.
I think we've all experienced that. And I think if we've experienced it, we need to make sure we remember it because we need to understand that we could do this in such a better way if we learn from our mistakes.
You're absolutely right. And let me ask you another question. How did that affect your performance if you're in an in-group versus an out-group?
I'm sure you're more lazy. You're not trying to, it doesn't matter. You get it done when you get it done kind of thing.
And right.
That's not the attitude. You want to have an attitude that you want your best foot forward. You're giving everything 100%. And if you don't believe in the person you're working for, why do you make them look good?
Absolutely right. Can you imagine if the whole team was an in-group where everyone has the same goals, they have trust, they have that relationship, and they're pushing really hard all together?
Can you imagine if a church had that?
That would be truly amazing.
That would be the church that Jesus died for.
Yes, it is. That's well put. I love that. Okay, back to LMX. LMX states that leaders should develop a high-quality relationship with all the followers rather than just a few. The leaders should nurture a high-quality exchange with all followers and not just those with the same interests. So it's on the leader to form this relationship. It's not on the follower to form this relationship. And rather than focusing on the differences with the followers, leaders focus on ways to build trust and respect with all followers, resulting in everyone being in the in-group.
Right. I think a lot of it comes back to you treat people the way you want to be treated.
Yeah.
I think... Don't you think?
I absolutely do think that.
And it's you treat them with a heart of love in that you see, look at the way Jesus looked at you and you try to do that to them.
Amen. That's it. You know, I say this a lot of times, but I've been in the in-group and I've been in the out-group. And it can be something like maybe you do have a different favorite sports team. Maybe, you know, we're here in Wildcat country. Maybe someone supports Duke and suddenly they're in the out group for that.
Let us pray. What?
Oh, here we go.
You mean I have to like Duke people?
Unfortunately, yes. Yes, you do.
I'll do that, but not Ohio State.
And Ohio State.
Sorry.
And if you get them all in the in-group, regardless of what team they root for, your team's going to do better or your church is going to do better.
Yes, maybe.
So now how do we use LMX as a leader? How do we achieve making the whole group an in-group?
I think I know where you're going. Let's keep running.
Well, LMX gives us three phases of leadership to achieve this. And when you work through each phase and they go in order, the first phase is the stranger phase. Then you move into the acquaintance phase. And then you move into the mature partnership phase. And the idea is once the leader and the follower have a relationship in the mature partnership phase, then that person's in the in group.
Let me say something here, Chris, because I think it's important. Because I think some people hear that and they go, well, that means I have to know 200 people. Chris, where he's employed at, he has, let's say, over 100. Is that fair to say? And you can still do it, right, Chris?
I can, because I care about them.
It's just got to be plugged into your heart, not into your mind.
If you think about people you care about, you know them. You usually know their spouse's name. You may know their children's name, their interests, what you have in common and what you don't have in common, what makes them tick, and it's because you care about them.
I love that. Thank you, Chris. That's great insight for us all.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. So let's discuss the stranger phase. This is typically when you first meet someone, but not always. For the leaders out there, especially for the Christian leaders, you may have people that are in your out group. Well, this is how to get them into your in group, and you have to start with the stranger phase.
So, but this isn't saying stranger danger.
No, it's not saying stranger danger.
Thank you.
Oh, no.
That was a good sound effect. Perfect. Stranger danger.
There
dun,
we go.
Dun, dun. Sorry.
So in the stranger phase, the roles are usually scripted. The exchanges are low quality, like, how are you? How was your weekend? The influence is one way, meaning that the leader influences the follower and the follower has no influence over the leader. And in this phase, the leader should motivate the follower using the follower's self-interest rather than the good of the group.
Amen.
During this phase, the leader should begin using social interactions with the follower to open up and reveal information about themselves.
So why do you think that is so hard for people today?
That's a very good question.
I think I have an answer.
And what's that?
I think we like to be in our own house with our own TV, with our own stuff behind our own locked door.
Yes.
And we've gotten so private, we forgot what community looks like. We forgot
you're so right.
You know, yes. And even I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I just want to sit and watch my TV shows and everybody leave me alone. And that's not from God. That's just from what our society is trying to condition us to do in a lot of ways. And that's not good for us. Healthy for us, or healthy for a church, healthy for a college, healthy for a workplace.
You are so
right. Did I cover
it? I think you covered it. Yeah. There's a lot to that.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, my back.
You got your aching back now?
Oh, my aching back.
So when to the leaders out there, especially the Christian leaders again, when you have people that are in your out group and you're in the stranger phase, it's on you to open up to them. Share information about them they may not know, and maybe share information that not many people know. That's how you start this foundation of that relationship.
And amen.
Then we move into the acquaintance phase. The acquaintance phase usually begins with an offer by the leader for improved social and career-oriented changes. This could present itself in a way like the leader saying, you know, I have a special job for you, or I have something that I only trust you to do. That's how you begin to in the acquaintance phase.
That's good.
In the acquaintance phase, the exchanges are medium quality. They're better than, hi, how are you? How was your weekend? Etc. And the leader should motivate the follower using both the follower's self-interest and the interest of the group.
Amen.
During this time, the leader should begin shifting the interactions into new ways of relating. And the leader should focus on giving greater trust and respect, which will result in the follower having less focus on themselves and more focus on the group. And again, this is all on the leader. As a leader, it's your job to foster this relationship. You've got to show that respect, give that respect, open up, share things with yourself, and then give them a challenge, something that they can do to show you what they're made of.
That's amazing.
And now we move to the mature partnership. In the mature partnership, the influence is reciprocal. The follower influences the leader as much as the leader influences the follower. The exchanges are high quality. This is when you genuinely care about someone, and it's not just, how are you? Fine, how are you? It's, hey, how you doing? What's going on? Are you okay? Can I help you with something? Because you care about them.
I think when you just, someone, you know, it's funny, like you have someone you see and you ask them, how are they? A lot of times we really don't want to know how they are.
No, you just want to hear fine and that's it.
And what I've learned that when they say fine back to me, I'm like, tell me about it. Why is it fine? What's going on?
That's because you care.
But you can start figuring out where people come from if you want to. And a lot of us, we just don't want to do it. We don't have the time for it. We don't have the heart for it, and we forget. Really, let me just say this. As Christians, I think it's one of the things that hurts Christianity the most is that we're not willing to go out and show people the love of Jesus through our actions, through the way we love them.
You are so right. All we're going here.
Gonna have some church in here today. Come on now.
You know, I'm thinking about what you said, and you said maybe we don't have the time, but really, how much time does it take to have a quick conversation with someone and really find out how they're doing?
It doesn't take that long.
It does not.
That's amazing.
So back on the mature partnership, the followers' interests are the group instead of the self. So this person now is more interested in the group than themselves. They will volunteer for difficult tasks. They will do things they normally wouldn't do because it's all about the group. They have a high degree of mutual trust, respect, and obligation between the leader and follower, and a tested and dependable relationship. And they may even depend on favors for each other. And it, with a mature partnership, you have a much more favorable outcome for the leader, the follower, and the organization.
There you go. It's good stuff.
That is good stuff. Think about the people that you have worked with, Dave, that you have a tested, dependable relationship. You know you can count on them because you have in the past.
Right. And the good news about that is once you receive that kind of friend, it balances itself out. You take care of each other. You look out for one another. I think it's essential as we get to know people that we try to understand where they're coming from.
Absolutely.
You know, it's easy to say, I can't stand that person until you find out that that person's dealing with cancer or that person's dealing with something else. You have to look at the person as a person who needs Jesus.
Absolutely.
Or
yes.
Already has him. Praise God. And you both can praise him together.
You can praise him together. That's the great way to do that. That's truly wonderful. So here's some advantages of LMX, Leader Membership Exchange. LMX applies to all levels of management. You can be the entry level manager. You can be the CEO of the organization. LMX applies to anyone in leadership anywhere. You can be an usher in the church. You can be a pastor in the church. LMX applies.
Amen.
LMX applies to all organizations, including volunteers. Have you ever tried to give orders, or of course you have, to a group of volunteers? That doesn't go very well.
Yeah, well, that's because you can cut their pay. You can't. You can't cut their pay. That's, you know, and I think with volunteer work, that's a hard thing because one of the first things I learned, sometimes a volunteer may not be in the right place. So how do you fire that volunteer because they're volunteering, but also try to make sure they get put in a place. Don't take someone out of something until you find something else to put them into.
Amen to that.
Anyway, that didn't really apply to this, but I thought
it was good
important advice.
Yeah. But LMX is one of the only leadership principles that applies to volunteers. And again, it's just you have to develop a caring relationship with them. Another good thing about LMX is it forces the leaders to reevaluate how they see their team. This is entirely on the leader. The leader can't say that I don't get along with that person for any reason because the leader has to get along with that person.
That's right, for sure.
And the last of the advantages of LMX is it sensitizes managers to how in-groups and out-groups develop. Out-groups can develop without even noticing, and after time goes by, they become more disenfranchised and they move further away from the team. They show up and they do their work. They don't speak to anyone and they go home. But the team is losing so many valuable resources in that person when that happens.
Right. The term we used to use, they don't have any skin in it.
Exactly.
So they haven't been able to put that effort in there. It's just like a sporting team. You know, you got the first team and the second team, but the second team is part good because they make the first team better.
Gosh,
and when
that's
they,
good.
When they make that, you know, I'm not here just to start. I'm here to make an impact. You can do that wherever God puts you. Even
yes.
if it's a safety and you're way too heavy and you don't think you can do it on the football team, you can still do it because you're working towards what you need to be.
Amen to that.
I don't even
know
if that made sense, but
no,
I
it
tried.
Did. Thanks. That was really good. And I hadn't thought of this being applicable to sports teams, but you played sports growing up. I played sports growing up. Think about the people on your sports team that you knew you could count on. You knew you could trust. That's when you have the best teams.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you know, a lot of that develops over playing a lot of games together.
And that's the only way. You got to get that relationship.
Some of the best teams are the teams that have been put together for a long time.
Yes, because you've got that trusted, dependable relationship.
Right.
So let's talk about the disadvantages of LMX. And there's not many. LMX is really one of my favorite modes of leadership. The first is employees differ in their abilities and trustworthiness. Sometimes you may have someone who's just not trustworthy. They could have an addiction or they could have anything else where you keep putting trust in them and they're not a trustworthy person.
And I think that happens a lot because we put ourselves out there and then we get hurt. Hurt people hurt people.
I love that. That's a beautiful saying.
And so that's what happens. We get hurt and we hurt others. And so you do need to evaluate it. You need to be careful, but you also need to be okay telling somebody who you are. And
so
you know,
true.
You
so
just got to open up and be you. That's hard. This is harder than I would think.
You said it all right there. Open up and be you.
Yeah.
And that's hard.
That's really hard.
But it pays off and it gets the results.
Amen. I've always said the goal to this life is loving Jesus and being.
Amen.
Amen. And being the authentic self that he created you to be.
That's it.
Don't try to be what anyone else is. Try to be who God made you.
Amen. Here's the last disadvantage of LMX. There was only two. But think about this one. It inadvertently supports the development of privileged groups in the workplace.
Right.
If you have an in-group and an out-group, well, the in-group is a privileged group. But your goal as the leader is to get everyone into that group.
And here's the thing. If you're under that group, that's your group. That's who you belong to. That's my tribe. And
exactly.
And so that's the case. And I think you're okay when you keep that circle with who you are and what you do with the people that you work for
Absolutely.
Or whatever or work with.
Absolutely. So what did you think of LMX, Dave?
I thought it was very good. And the only thing, again, with it being Thanksgiving, I thought of some stuff that can kind of coincide with that.
Yes.
And that's really, you have to have a thankful heart. Colossians 2:6-7. So then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. Strengthen in the faith that as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness.
It's beautiful. I love that.
So I have to have a heart that just is over. You know how I want to like people? When I'm okay with me.
Yes.
And being okay with me means I'm thankful for God creating me as crazy and weird and awkward as I know I am. God made me this way. And
yes.
It's not an excuse. It's for real.
Amen.
I'm good with it. I love the way God. I don't think the way other people think. Trust me. Just ask my wife.
Oh, here we go. Praise the Lord.
Is this thing on? I'll be on. All right. Now I'm going to try to get back to a serious thought.
Oh my.
A couple more things. Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You start working with people when you're thankful for who they are. And
yes.
You start. The only way you can be thankful for who they are, you got to find out who they are.
Exactly.
Which is kind of what we've been talking about.
That's beautiful.
And I get the other stuff, but I think it's important. One of my favorite quotes is by A.A. Milne and it's Winnie the Pooh, that great theologian.
Oh, yeah.
He's the great theologian. I thought that was funnier than you did. Okay. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could be rather large amount of gratitude. Let's be thankful this week. Not just this week. Let's try to put it on for the rest of the month.
Absolutely.
Wait a minute. It's almost over. Let's try even around Christmas time to be thankful.
Yes.
To love people the way you want to be loved and to remind yourself that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Don't forget that. We're so thankful that you let us talk to you. I thank those who asked where we were. We're back. And if we can do anything, if we can minister to you, make sure you check out our website, Chris.
Lead1212.com.
We'd love to interact with you. There's some stuff there that you can interact with. We'd love to see you there. We hope you guys have a wonderful Turkey Day.
Yes, we do.
Thanksgiving, and we know that God will bless you.
Yes.
And if there's anything we can do, please allow us that blessing.
Yes.
Have a great week.
This is an LBS production, which stands for pounds. I don't know if you knew that or not, but it also stands for laughing because we're saved. But we kind of like the pounds, so Chris will lift them, and I will gain them, and we will have a great time. Thanks for listening.